Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of sorts of the Saints Hour. Mike Haas along with Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis. And I say special edition, it's still just a Tuesday. But not for us. It's 11 o'clock here and way earlier in New Orleans. So I guess just initially being in London, you've been here before, but how has it been getting the old body clock where it needs to be?
Yeah, well, it takes a day or two. I would say I'm not there yet, but we're used to it. You know, it's our third time here, so we kind of understand the dynamics behind that. You know, we've given the players and our staff instruction on the best way to quickly get adjusted. And so I think for each guy, it's kind of an individual thing, how they're adjusting.
And not all teams do it this way. Some teams do the Thursday. And I will say it. Just that seems tricky to me to try to pull all that off and get acclimated and get practice and just learn your way around everything in just a short amount of time.
Yeah, look, it's hard for me to speak on the teams that have come over, later in the week and then just try to keep their body clocks on their current time, play the game, and then get right back. Because as I mentioned, we've been over here three times. Each time we've come over after a road game, made the trip the night of the game, and then acclimated and played the game after being a full week here. So that's the only way we know how to do it. And we've had success. We felt good about that, about the logistics behind that, and so that's what we're doing.
Do you ever have conversations that maybe even when the schedule came out with the NFL to like, we've always been open afterwards, why not this time?
Yeah, well, look, they asked us if we wanted a bye week, so that's our choice. We elected not to have a bye week after this game primarily because it's just so early in the season. We felt like we'd be better off having the bye week later in the year, even though we'll have to adjust our body clocks back to Central Time back when we get to New Orleans.
I apologize. I didn't know that. I guess you use it like you put in your three top choices because everybody can't get the week maybe they want, or do you?
Right.
You put in more. Here's what we
know,
like.
They ask us about the opponent that we're going to play prior to and where, and then they ask us about having the bye week immediately after. So we do have some influence on that. We told them what our preferences were, and that's what we got.
As we were talking prior to even starting, it was brief, but at 1-2, there's a lot of teams in that boat, and two things. The issues that there have been are clearly fixable. It's execution, it's penalties, it's turnovers. And as you say, you know what? We haven't played our best game. We haven't played good football yet.
Yeah, I think, we've played in spurts. We've had some things, some flashes that we get excited about. I think overall the defense has played pretty well. But I don't think we've hit on all cylinders, particularly on offense and special teams yet, even though we've had our moments. And so there's some things we got to get corrected, and hopefully we can do that this week and have a good performance on Sunday.
And it's not something that you want to have, but you do have it, and that is you have played uphill somewhat. This team has has had some slow starts. So you've been in this position before. You know that it is turnaroundable.
Yeah. Although that's true, it's not something that we like.
Exactly. No, I'm right.
You want to get off to a quick start. Exactly. You want to get off to a good early season, have a good feeling about the direction you're going, as opposed to having these things that keep you from winning. But the teams that we've played have played well. They've had good game plans, and yet I think we feel like in the two losses in particular, we've done some things that beat ourselves.
Tomorrow we will learn from Dennis about the injury situation. So I'm not asking about injury players. I'm asking only about process. So we're in London, and the practice squad comes over Thursday?
No, the practice squad came over. They traveled to Carolina with us, and then were with us on the trip afterwards. So
okay, so they've been
we have our full complement of active roster and practice squad players here.
Okay. Player A from some other team or something.
Yeah.
That's not out there. It was going to try out. You want to try out player A?
Yeah.
There are scouts back at the ranch. I mean, how does this process work?
Yeah, it's no different except for instead of flying those guys to New Orleans for a workout and a physical, we'd fly them here.
And so they wouldn't yeah. go to they'd come
here.
They'd
come right here. Yes.
What are there any issues because I know what it was for teams and everybody else from a passport standpoint? Like, they have to have one.
They can't come.
that's got to be tricky, right?
It's a little trickier, although, we haven't had a lot of workouts and the other times we've been here, although one year we had a punter try out and had to sign a punter for that week.
You get them here, can't you?
Yeah. We got them here, and I think we had three or four guys that were in the workout, and we ended up signing, as I recall, it was Ben Graham. But the logistics, the procedures, the process isn't any different. It's just that it's a lot longer flight for them.
Yeah, very much so. Is there a emphasis on, because there's always a fine line, this is a business trip, everybody has said that from the get-go, but you also kind of stay in a routine. Yesterday, even though it was a fly day and y'all were delayed getting out of Charlotte, it was do what you can on the field. Dennis had his Monday. It felt like at least as normal of a day that can be, that started actually Sunday night in Charlotte.
Yeah, it's different certainly because we're flying here on a long flight as opposed to going back to New Orleans on a short flight. So Monday's a little different. It starts a little later. And then Tuesday's the player's day off. We have treatments set up. The weight room's available for players. I think it's probably more difficult on the coaches at this point because they've got to get rested on the flight over and then get right into game planning for this weekend's game against Minnesota. So I would say that at least the early part of the week is most difficult on our coaching staff.
What about the later part of the week for your staff? And again, I'm going to use player X and player B. You don't know injury situations until the Wednesday report. Were they limited? Did they not practice? Then does it kind of flip and morph?
Well, we really know. Right after the game, we get an injury report, and then on Monday morning, we get one as well. So we pretty much have a good idea of where the gaps may fall, what our needs might be, and we can plan accordingly. Obviously, sometimes you don't know the real details and the final outcomes until you get to Wednesday, Thursday, but we have a pretty good sense of it on Monday or Tuesday, which isn't really any different than if we were in New Orleans. It's just, again, that it's a little more difficult to get someone over here and takes longer than it would be if we were in New Orleans.
Talking with Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis. Got to take a break. We'll come back with Mickey and talk some more here on the Saints Hour on the Community Coffee New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back to the Saints Hour. Mike Haas, along with Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis, getting ready for Week 4 and the Minnesota Vikings. They won last week late, beat Detroit. Saints 1-2. So I love asking obvious questions, but I will get them out of the way because it is a unique schedule, at least in the fact that you open up 3 NFC South and your first 5 are NFC games. And nobody thinks too much about that in September, but guess what? In December and January, when you're figuring out tiebreakers and who's going to be where, and again, the goal is win the division and put this, you know, be the top seed. I understand that. But these are so important because they are NFC games.
Yeah. Yes, you're right. First of all, the division games take on added importance, and then obviously the NFC games as well. But really, in the last 4 or 5 years, I think the league's done a good job of trying to get some of these meaningful games in the front end of the schedule to kick off the season, and particularly division games, and then we finish up the season with usually a number of division games and NFC games that are going to have impact on the playoffs. So it's nothing that we haven't dealt with before. But you'd like to be dealing with that, playing these games when you're playing well.
And you mentioned it because not everybody does, but some do. It's another layer of that this is not a typical week. And some players have families here, and they're not necessarily here, but they're close. And it's so it's another, not a distraction. It's another, like, Sean did this at the Marriott for the Jacksonville game, and you guys had been in Dallas, and he just brought families over. He wanted it to be kind of a normal, that was a little different with Ida and Dallas, but just having families here is an interesting thing for players to have.
Yeah, it is. I think there's probably a little bit more of it than a normal road game, and yet on every road game, there are players and staff that have, someone in town, maybe a spouse, a hometown that they're coming back to on the road, and so there's guests that they have. So I don't view it as too much different than the normal road trip. It's just that we may have a few more here because it is London, and it's a once every 5 or 6 year opportunity for them to get a trip in and enjoy a game on the road.
It's Tuesday, so the players have off, which would be typical, and they can do whatever they want. Are any of them renting cars that you know of?
Well, I hope not. I know I'd be confused trying to drive on the opposite side of the road than we're used to. So, but there's cars available and drivers, so they'll get to, they'll be able to go anywhere they want safely.
Will you take some time this week, or more probably early in the week, and then kind of at some point lock it down? Or is it
I think we're trying to treat this just like we would any game. We're going to get our work done. The coaches in particular and the staff are pretty busy. There's not a lot of free time available to enjoy the things that you would normally enjoy when you come all the way over to London, but But there'll be a thing or two that each person can do. But really, it's a business trip, and we're treating it as such.
And it is unique in many ways, and it gives you an opportunity that we don't always get a chance to talk about, and that is the Derek Stamnes, who we're getting ready to talk to, and the Jay Romigs, and I mean, even what stuff would come on an equipment truck went on a plane and a bus. It didn't go on the equipment truck that, you know, 3 days early. There's a lot of people who have made this trip their goal, make it as smooth as possible.
Yeah, and look, it's a lot of work for each of the departments, to support people in each of the departments, particularly Derek and Jay, but our trainers and equipment people. There's just a lot to get done in order to have all the resources, all the tools that our coaches and our players need in order to prepare for a game on the weekend. And our guys do a great job of setting that up, but I don't think that the general person, including most of our staff, understand how much work it is and how difficult that is to pull off. You know, when you're moving basically 150 people across an ocean and trying to set up, offices and meeting rooms and field space that feel normal.
That was the other thing, in that just because of the way the layout of where downtown is, where the airport is, where the practice facility is, and where you guys are, it's not, you kind of take Metairie and the Superdome for granted, right? Everything's like 45 minutes away, and that's best case scenario. It's just another little niche of traveling.
Yeah, look, we're in a big city, and the transportation is just different. And there's heavy traffic at times, and we've got, as you said, we've got to go from one area. We're staying at the hotel to a different area to practice, to a different area to play the games, and so. It's a challenge getting our team moved around, and yet that's where Derek and Jay and the other support people have done a great job. They know what they're doing, and they usually handle that pretty well.
And final question, we kind of talk a lot on the front end of coming from Carolina and getting the body clocks. Talk about the back end. So you'll leave, the game's at 2:30, whenever you leave, 7:30, 8 o'clock, whatever. How difficult is it on the back end, because you got to go right into Seattle?
Well, that's a good question, because we haven't done it this way before. But obviously, we're gaining time going back. So, I feel like that's a little bit different than coming over and losing time. So, but again, it'll be new. We'll have to adjust quickly. And again, I think early in the week that becomes most difficult on our coaching staff. I think the players will adjust pretty quickly.
They're young. It's young. It's me and everybody else.
They also have to pay attention to, recuperation from the game and getting their bodies right and getting the same amount of treatments that they get when they're ordinarily at home. But I think we do a good job of providing those resources, and players are pretty smart about how they do that.
Well, they're all big. This one as well. Vikings in London. First time not at Wembley. Best of luck. Continued success. Get that. I know you're going to get it right and get things exactly the way you want them. And then finally, two home games in a row. That'll be nice.
Yeah, that'll be nice.
All right. Thank you,
Mickey. Thank you, Mike.
Appreciate it. Mickey Loomis, Executive Vice President and General Manager. All right. We will let stations identify themselves. So let's pause 10 seconds. To let stations identify themselves here on the Community Coffee New Orleans Saints Radio Network. And coming up next, we will talk to the Director of Team Operations for the New Orleans Saints. Yes, it has been a busy week for players and coaches, but there's a lot more to this operation other than football. And consider a round trip that begins in New Orleans, Central Standard Time, and then travels to Charlotte for really only about 28 hours, and then continuing on from Charlotte to London overnight Sunday, arriving here on Monday in London and getting right to work for a very big Week 4 game against the Minnesota Vikings that are 2-1. Still staying in the NFC, but their first game of the year outside of the NFC South. And just getting here and getting settled into the hotel is not the end all. The Saints will move the whole operation later in the week, wisely so, to be closer to Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, which is northeast of London, by about 45 minutes, so that they will be in good position for Sunday and a shorter drive to the stadium. And there's good reason for that as well. This football game in the NFL is not the only major event in London on Sunday. London will host its marathon Sunday morning. It is one of the Big Six marathons. And the race course is not just the issue, because police will block off streets well outside of the actual race route. So, yes, a lot to talk about with Derek Stamnos, the man in charge of getting things ready, making sure they run smoothly, get the equipment, get all the schedules, get all the facilities up and ready for the Saints and Vikings game on Sunday. We are back after a break here on the Community Coffee New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Saints Hour. Mike Haas now with Director of Team Operations, Derek Stamnos, who's been a very busy man for a very long time, irrespective of the season. You've been here, this is your fourth and a half year, or your third and a half year? Where
yep,
are you?
Fourth season here.
Give me just a sense of when the schedule comes out and you see Charlotte and then London back-to-back, which this team has done, but you weren't here. What was your initial thought?
Yeah, so we kind of get a heads up a little bit from the league at some point in the spring about, hey, London's probably going to happen, and then ultimately it comes down to where it falls on the schedule, and then once you know you're probably going to be on the road the week before and then travel over to London, there's a lot of moving parts that happen well beyond the schedule release. But once we get the schedule and start piecing it together, it's pretty much starts that day.
I know you've been over here from an advanced standpoint, which we'll talk about, but had you been over here at all with Miami and or Detroit?
Yeah, so in Detroit, I'd been over here twice in 2014 and 2015. We came back-to-back seasons, did the week-long excursion both times, and very well versed in how things operate here now.
So that's, and you really haven't done what other teams some do, which you can fly out on Thursday and do that. I mean,
yeah, have not. No, done the week twice, and now we're out here for an entire week, and we move the whole operation here.
No, and knowing what you know, knowing how much you've got to get done, the full week is hard to get it all done in, right?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, either way you're doing it. I mean, it's a lot of work that goes into both, but obviously, our organization feels like the week is the right way to do it, and in my third time being here, this is the only way I know, and I feel like it's the best way for a team to prep for a game.
And how many times have you been here from an advance standpoint?
Yeah, so we come over as soon as we get the idea that we're going to get this game. So I've come over once in March, and then we came over again in June as soon as our off-season program ended. So two visits prior to the team arrival.
Were they different focus base, meaning one might have been, let's just deal with the hotel, the practice facility, because there's so many different variables?
Yeah, so I'd say from our organizational standpoint, the first trip for me is to find out what works for the Saints. Irregardless of what, the NFL's guiding us to do, we do things our way, and basically I come out to gauge what we want to do, and then the second trip over is basically decisions are made. This is where we're practicing, when we're practicing, where we're staying, how we're doing pretty much everything the day the team arrives to the day the team departs.
From a practice facility, is that's where they were in 17?
Correct. We'll be back at the same location practicing, throughout the week. So very very similar setup and, practice plan to what we did in 2017.
But that's where kind of the routine ends, right? Because it's a new hotel. Right.
Yeah, so routine ends there because, we're kind of changing locations later in the week, just doing what we feel is best from a team standpoint to start prepping for game day.
Because, unbelievable to me, like there's not enough going on, the London Marathon is Sunday. It's one of the six biggest marathons there are, so it's not it's just, it's about hotel space, meeting space, rooms. And it's not like you need 10 rooms. You need the hotel for the most part.
Yeah. So, you know, there's always challenges, no matter if it's a standard road trip or coming over here. And, you know, as you mentioned, the marathon being one kind of throws a few different factors in here. You know, one thing out here that we don't get, that we do in the States is, you know, we're under police escort. A lot of times out here, we don't get that. So that kind of really creates a situation where we need to be as close as possible to every location we're going to. And obviously the marathon creates extra traffic and road closures that we have to account for.
Wow. I don't know. I guess I thought this is my first international game. I did not know that. So you're just six or seven buses traveling down
yeah.
the road. Huh?
Yeah. So there's basically one person in this entire country that gets an escort, and, you know, it's basically the king now.
The king,
other than
yeah.
that, we just kind of fall in line with everybody else.
The change later in the week, without being any specific, of course, just to be a little closer to the stadium?
Yeah, ultimately it's a scenario where we feel like there's a few competitive advantage things that we've decided to make that move for, but really the core of that is to lessen the ride on game day to Tottenham Stadium on Sunday.
And I've already talked to Mickey about this, and that is, it's you. Maybe I don't take for granted is right, but you know, from Metairie to the Superdome, and you know, it's nothing. It's but from we're downtown. It took us 1 hour and 45 to get here yesterday on a bus, and practice facility, and the airport. And there's nothing. Nothing feels close.
No, nothing. Nothing here feels close except the walk from the elevator to your guest room. But yeah, everything here. You know, like you just mentioned, when we're home, you know, this would normally be a home game. Our routine is very, very easy. But coming out here, you know, we've got a great staff across the board that's used to doing this trip, so it makes it easy on a lot of us. But there's a lot of challenges that come with this as well.
Even the equipment, because normally the equipment would be on a truck, and because we put some of our radio gear, and so even that is different because it's got to go on a plane, it's got to come over.
Yeah, I mean, really, just behind the scenes of that stuff, it's all got to go through customs. Immigration, there's just a lot of moving parts that, you know, the equipment staff, the video staff, the training staff, there's about 8 different steps that come with this trip that are above and beyond a normal game that we won't get into the details on, but it's a challenge, but they're great at what they do.
For you, I was, when Mickey was talking about this early part of the week, it's really coaches and they're getting, you know, it's a very important time. Do you, now this is radio, I'm moving my hand like an up and down, or is it just a constant, or do you, as it gets towards the end of the week, I guess it canceled because now you're moving to the stadium.
Yeah, so, you know, we try to replicate obviously our schedule as much as we can while we're here. So, you know, it takes a little bit of acclimation this first day or so, but, you know, for our operational standpoint, we're, other than a different venue, we're trying to operate as standard as normal, but there are some moving parts, especially as we get toward the end of the week, because, you know, you feel like by the time you're unpacked here and kind of in a routine, we're about to pack up and move locations and then play a game.
And again, I've talked to Mickey about this, and I'm just curious because we were talking about if you have to bring a player over for whatever reason, your practice squad's here, you know, player A or player B, which is how I talked to him. Question one is, do you have a passport? And if you don't, and you're probably not going to come
yeah.
over.
So just in general, the passport process for our players is something we you know, it's an 8-month process, but just from the sake of if we do have to bring a player over, you know, our personnel department and, you know, guys under Mickey's leadership, when we talk to guys, we ensure that they've got a valid passport, and that's part of our process. You know, we'll vet every single thing and every single angle of this trip to ensure that if we have to pull that red lever and get somebody here or get somebody out, that all, you know, all details are already looked at.
Got to take a quick break. Step aside here with Derek Stamenos, the director of team operations here for the New Orleans Saints. This is the Saints Hour on the Community Coffee New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back to the Saints Hour. Mike Haas with Derek Stamenos, the director of team operations So you arrived in 2019, was that
yep, accurate? First season, yep.
First season was 2019, and you're rolling along, and then pow, COVID, and so you spent 3 years having that, and I imagine in your world, professionally, it must have just been, this is good for now and for now only, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was a total, you know, obviously new experience for all of us, but now, obviously, we played an entire season under COVID protocol and really rolled into a second with it. And from my side of things, it changed a lot of what we do. And really, every day was a learning experience for, I think, every single person in our building, me included.
And then, you're from Arizona originally? Is that
New Mexico, but via Arizona, yeah, out west.
You get a hurricane. So I think almost anything after Ida, that's the bar now.
Yeah.
And as difficult as this trip is, you knew it was coming. Ida, on August 27th, we're supposed to play Arizona the next day, and that's not happening. So everything must get compared to that.
Yeah, and you're not far off of that. I mean, really, when that kind of popped up, you know, as some of our other guys can attest to, the Weather Channel's on in my office during hurricane season every single day of the year. So I kind of become the resident weather guy and sounding board for a lot of guys in our office, and as that started churning into the Gulf, you know, it's my job really is to plan weeks ahead of everybody else, and with something like that, it's a minute by minute, hour by hour thing. And you know, when it was time to leave, it was a little bit of scramble drill, but you know, again, we got such a great staff that everyone in one way or another has had experience with it in the past, and we just had to do what we had to do.
As you look back now, because to me, in retrospect, the ability to pull off planes, buses, and the team alone would have been hard enough, but family members. As you look back now and what this team, this organization was able to accomplish, it's staggering.
Yeah, I mean, when you really look back and take a view of what ultimately what we thought was going to be a, you know, a few day evacuation turned into, you know, 28 plus days on the road, it's pretty incredible. I mean, you know, we're fortunate that, you know, we have a lot of great people in the city of New Orleans that really helped facilitate getting us in and out. And yeah, it's one of those things that it's foggy memory, but when you really sit and think about it, it's pretty incredible to think what we did in that short period of time.
New Orleans itself, Louisiana, was never kind of in the, I hate to use the word cone because it was way too early, but you had to be watching the Weather Channel this past week, just get out, get moving, stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, this is day 5 or 6 for me over here in London. I was ahead of the team, but every single day I'm on the phone with a weather meteorologist back in Louisiana, and I've got a national friend in the meteorology world, and we had conversations every day just because of the unpredictability of that. So we were, oddly enough, preparing if we had to do something different, that we had a plan in place that thankfully got put in the shredder.
Do you have any weather experience? You're kind of like, you sound like the team weather.
No,
weather guy.
It's just,
I wouldn't like that job, especially in Louisiana.
No, definitely not.
Here, it's okay, cloudy and cold.
It's more of a weird passion of mine. But now that, you know, I live where I live and work where I work, it kind of, you know, obviously blends into your personal and your professional life, knowing that at this time of year, all it takes is a couple of thunderstorms.
All it takes one.
Yeah.
I mean, all it takes is one, right? Yeah. Especially, that's what I mean, you know, go back to training camp. Well, tell me if it's going to rain. I go, well, the storm starts here. It just pops up here. So
yeah.
That's tricky.
Yeah, it's not fun. But, you know, we're not to say we're always up for a challenge by any means, but we're always ready.
I can't imagine your to-do list coming into this. And I'm just curious, was there one or two things that every morning you wake up and that was the top of your to-do list? This has to be done right.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a staged process with this. Look, I mean, it's a lot of people helping us accomplish what we want to accomplish. Again, we kind of call it the way the Saints want it. We never want to do something just because it's been done by another team. And we have a lot of partners in this process that every single day there's a conference call, whether it's with airline, with NFL UK, with tickets, with building a locker room, building a weight room. So really every day is kind of a, hey, we've got a big master plan, and ultimately how we get to the end of that master plan, it was just kind of chipping away day by day and ensuring that the people you're depending on, you know, are getting the things done that you ask.
And then later this week, tear down the weight room and rebuild. I don't know if the new hotel has a different situation, but tear it down and you're like a MASH unit.
Yeah, really. I mean, yeah, when we move, we're going to have the same setup, but at a location 20 miles from here.
And on the back end, so when we left from Charlotte, we knew we had time sort of much on our hand, and that get there Monday, and we were all delayed, but still get here Monday. On the back end, play the game, and you'll leave, I don't know, 7:30, 8 o'clock, fly. You'll gain the time coming back, but that's got to be almost on the back of your mind. It's like, because you don't, then it's Monday, everything's got to be in place, right?
Yeah, so we, you know, that's different this time around. We're coming back home, and we're back in the Superdome next week to play Seattle. So for us, when we land back in the New Orleans Sunday night late Sunday night, early Monday morning, that basically that flip switches again, that we're in game mode for, you know, a home game. And there's a lot of things that got to get back into place. And, you know, we got the staff that's pretty much going to be hitting the ground running for another week. So it'll be a little bit of a challenge, but that's something that's not too big for us.
I don't know you very well, but I'm going to ask you kind of a personal question. And only because I've seen the job, I've been around this organization for 30 plus years, and the director of team operations is huge. But I'm just, what drew you to this kind of job?
Ooh, yeah. I mean, really worked in college, worked in football. I mean, I've been in football now, 15, 16 years, and it's kind of something you just. I don't want to say people necessarily aspire to do this role. It's just kind of something that develops. You know, you kind of get involved in a football building as a young guy and start kind of seeing how things flow, and had a chance to do some things in scouting and operations, and opportunities just kind of came up. And it's something that it's a skill. Let's put it that way. It's not skill and a will, let's say. You gotta want to do this, because I mean, the details, as you kind of just spoke to,
it's the attention and the details. And this team, as you know, Sean and Benish are both enormously detail oriented people. I think job responsibility, at least job ability, but to be able to have eight balls in the air at the same time.
Yeah, no question. And really part of my role is to see around corners and really work ahead of everybody. So, you know, we're guys here, coaches, staff are working for today. I'm really working for tomorrow and really understanding, hey, what is happening tomorrow, and really trying to see the problems before they happen and kind of douse fires before, you know, they become too large to handle.
That's an interesting part. And again, I've been around this team a long time, but like when I talk to Mike Parenton we're talking about Minnesota, he goes, well, I'm on Seattle, right? Like my job is to, when the Vikings game's over on the plane, he'll hand Coach Allen Seattle, you know, that stuff. And there's always somebody on this organization, you do both, but there's always somebody a week ahead of what's going on.
Yeah, and I would say week, 2 weeks, a month. It really kind of depends how things shake out. But, yeah, very similar to that I would almost say the quietest time of my week is the 60 minutes the guys are on the field.
You know, that's
ultimately kind of my freedom to watch guys do what they do for me to take a breath.
With like even a Mickey or a Parenton or a Kai or Jeff Ireland, I see them just in a press box or somewhere, and it's like their job's done, at least at this juncture. And they're always watching the monitor for some player that might, you know, but if in that juncture, in that time, you're kind of detached a little bit.
Yeah, and I would say really I'm one eye's on the field, one eye's on my cell phone, unfortunately, but, you know, normally at that point it's kind of haze in the barn, and we're on to the next from my perspective.
Because you've been around Arizona and Detroit and Miami, like New Orleans, have you had a chance to even move around?
Yeah, I mean,
COVID.
Yeah,
and,
I mean, it's been Ida. Yeah, it's been unique. I mean, obviously moving there, had a little bit of time in the city prior to the pandemic, but it's you know, my job is just like most of ours in our building is year round. When we're not in season, it's prepping for the next thing, you know, preparation for draft, preparation for getting the schedule for the following year. But I try to enjoy the city when I can, and, you know, it's been nice so far.
Good. Well, Derek Stamos, Director of Team Operations, I wouldn't want your job for an hour, but doing a great job, and we really, really appreciate your time. And best of luck the rest of this week, because it's really not over.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff to do. You got to do two new moves. You got to move back to the airport, move to the new hotel, so lots to do.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate it. And everything, all that matters is getting a win on Sunday.
You know, I feel the same way. Thanks very much.
When we come back on the Saints Hour, he scours the sidelines looking for pertinent Saints information during our radio broadcast. And Steve Geller had an eventful Sunday in Charlotte, especially when it came to that blue injury tent. We will learn a lot more throughout this week and later this week from Saints head coach Dennis Allen on Wednesday as the players get back to practice and we get our first injury report for the week. Pre-Minnesota Vikings, Steve Geller is next here on the Community Coffee New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Saints Hour. Mike Haas now joined by sideline reporter Steve Geller here in London. And it should be not a typical week, but it kind of feels like a typical week. We came in yesterday, Monday. Dennis Allen had a presser. They did a little walkthrough. Today's Tuesday. Players are off. So business-wise, it feels normal. But I think from this point on, and they get into practice, it's going to get kind of ramped up again.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And you know what? Hearing from Dennis Allen, DeMario Davis, Mark Ingram on Monday, everybody pretty much stressed the fact that, yeah, they're in London right now, but this is total business trip, especially after dropping two straight. You know, this team is desperate to get back into that win column. Just hoping now on the injury front, we get some good news on some guys like, you know, Michael Thomas, Jarvis Landry, because that wide receiving core got pretty banged up that last game. And those are two obviously key pieces to this offense, which has been struggling as it is.
And so you wonder, though, what information will get disseminated, because they can be limited to practice
right
tomorrow, limited on Thursday. You don't, unless there's a kind of clear cut decision, like they're not ready, we're going to bring up somebody from the practice squad or even sign somebody new. So it's kind of a, we think we'll get some news tomorrow, but don't, it's not the end all.
Yeah. And I think it'll be curious to see too, if we end up hearing about a signing and maybe bringing someone to London that I guess scouts back in New Orleans could work out and see, but yeah,
earlier in the show, Mickey said they will bring them here. So if they're going to work out a guy, the first question they ask you is, do you have a passport? Because that's the key. I mean, if you don't have a passport, I mean, that's kind of the it's not anything happening at Saints camp. It will take place here. I thought that was unique anyway.
Yeah, that's definitely unique indeed. And I would expect, though, that either someone from the practice squad or a workout player will be brought in for the wide receivers at least.
Just numerically.
Right, exactly.
If you get Hardy back, Thomas, we don't know. We don't know about Jarvis. Traquan, we don't know.
I don't
know.
Expect with that, you with know, to clear concussion protocol right. in time, right?
But you're right. It's not the end of the world. 1-3. This team is a perennially slow starter. But all five games.
1-2.
Should they lose?
Oh, right. I got you.
Don't, you know, it's not that they couldn't, but 1-3, even though the NFL feels a little, you know, very up and down, there's not a lot of really, really good teams and a lot of teams right now in the Saints bucket at 1-2 or 2-1.
Just two teams are undefeated right now in the league. So,
it's a crucial game for that matter because it's NFC, but then you get back and you go, I got two straight home games. I feel like fans and maybe, you know, the media are panicking more than maybe the team is because they've been in this position before.
Yeah, been there, done that. They know what needs to be done too. We've talked about penalties being an obvious issue. Also, the turnover is just a nightmare. You'd never want to have that many. And right now, the Saints are, you know, tops in the NFL with the most turnovers, and that's not anything that any coach is going to like or the players either. And that's a huge key, is to get back to protecting the football and limiting those penalties. And I don't know how much they'll be able to get accomplished in this week leading up to that game against Minnesota. But it is a crucial game, obviously. But I still – it's way too early to call anything a must-win situation for anything.
Not in week four.
Right, exactly.
Not in week four. And as we were talking to Deuce earlier, you look at this defense and what it's really done and kept the ball out of the end zone and gotten some turnovers and done its job. You know, this defense, and everybody wants more sacks. Well, it is what it is sometimes. And
defense has been playing very well.
No, the defense has definitely kept this team, obviously, in the games. The one crazy thing is, too, is no interceptions yet.
Yeah.
But hopefully those end up coming against Mr. Kirk Cousins. I know he's not a great quarterback in primetime situations. We'll see what he does on London time. I know it's going to be an early game locally, an 8:30 a.m. kickoff at 2:30 for us here. So that'll be interesting to see. But this Vikings team has got a lot of weapons, a pretty good defense. So, and this, they always seem to match up well against the Saints. So definitely a dangerous team.
All right, Steve, appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the week.
Cheerio.
All right, thank you, Steve. I want to thank everyone for listening tonight. Our guest, Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis, also the Director of Operations for Football, a busy man, Derek Stamnos, and Saints sideline reporter Steve Geller. It is Tuesday in London. Back to work for the Saints on Wednesday. They practice at a rugby practice facility outside of London. It is cool and breezy and pretty much scheduled to stay that way this week, though possibly a slight warm-up for Sunday. The kickoff, 2:30 our time, 8:30 in the morning, New Orleans time. And, of course, we hope that everyone along the Gulf South and in Florida can stay safe from any weather. Thanks for listening to the Saints Hour. I'm Mike Haas on the Community Coffee New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.